This week's mailbag comes to us from Jackie. For those of us that have been doing the Sunday basket for a while, like say over 3 months, what have you done with the time and money you have saved? I realized recently that after a year in my Sunday basket, I have been able to save on late fees, like approximately $250 a year, save on insurance by really analyzing what I have and canceling or scaling back what I don't need, so approximately $500 a year so far, reanalyzed my retirement planning and eliminated costly advisor that I didn't need. That one is so expensive and hard to count what I've saved. But I've also reorganized our family budget. Again, hard to know the savings, but approximately $500 this month. And really map out our eating to have more home-cooked meals and fewer takeout. So less than $150 a month now, which is down from over $500 a month. So about $200 per month in savings or $2,400 a year. I've started using a food tracking app since last September, and with a new nutritionist that I now have time for, I've lost over 15 pounds or 20 pounds since July. But the nutritionist, a real registered dietitian, made it much easier and faster, zooming about once every 2 to 3 weeks, and now my blood pressure is much improved. So health and wealth is what I've gained. Thank you, Lisa and team. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, I'm starting a new 4-part series that I am calling Discovering You. One of the things that I, as a person, as a mother, as a teacher, have honed in on and focused on my entire life is the uniqueness of people. Every single person, even identical twins, have uniquenesses of them that make them just different and one of a kind and one in a billion, trillion, million. Like, there is something about you that is different than everyone else on the planet. And I love to find that unique thing and put a bunch of unique people together in one circumstance to create something bigger that no one else could have made on their own because they take their uniqueness and they combine it into something else. And that's what I've done, like, as a teacher, that's what I've done as a mom, and that is what I'm doing in Organized 365. Our mission is to help you get your home and paper organized in 1 year with functional systems that work so that you can go out and do what you are uniquely created to do. I used to only give you the first part of that mission, but now I say the whole thing because that really has been my life's purpose, to pull out of people what is uniquely them, show it to them, and then let you take that and run and just go to the moon. Like, whatever it is, just follow that passion, that uniqueness. So often in school, like when I really think about the school setting and what we do in school is we try to make everyone really well-rounded and good at everything and experience everything and try everything. And I do understand that you don't know what you're good at or what you're going to like if you never have the opportunity to try or see. However, I also feel that by the time you're in like middle school, you kind of know if you're a math kid or if you're a reading kid. You kind of know if you love science or you like history better. Like, you know what you like more of. And I love pouring into what you love more of and becoming an expert in that. And yes, you need to know a little bit of all of the subjects in order to be well-rounded, but look at any of the famous or prosperous or successful people that you know, most likely they're really, really, really good
at one thing and they're okay about other things. You don't even care what they are about other things because they're so good at this one thing that they've gone headlong into. And I've been that kind of person. I love to dive into the thing that makes me uniquely me. One of the things that I think makes me uniquely me is this desire I have to pull out of other people their uniqueness and then put together teams of people to impact a bigger organization based on those teams. I don't know if that's what I'm doing inside of Organize 365 globally, but it's definitely what I'm doing inside of Organize 365 as a company. And one of the tools that I have used over time to do that is something that is called the Kolbe test, K-O-L-B-E. And to be honest, I have had on my podcast list to tell you about the Kolbe test for over 2 years, because once I learned about it, it is not a personality test. It is not an intelligence test. It is a test of how you think. The process that your brain goes through from idea to a finished product, what is the process you go through? I'm going to tell you the process I go through, and it is probably very different than you. But once you know how people think, how people process through from idea all the way to a completed project, oh my goodness, you can really value all the different ways that people problem solve and come up with a solution. So today I'm going to tell you about Kolbe. And the reason why I waited 2 years to do this, and I'm still not going to do a great job, is because I felt like in order to even tell you about this test or how I use this assessment in my company, I needed to be an expert in Kolbe. And let's just start out and say I'm not. You all know I read and research in so many different genres. I have so much information in my head, but I'm not really good at the details. I cannot tell you chapter and verse of where I found things or who the source is. I just let all the information come in my head and swim around in there, and then I make assimilations of those different information. So the Kolbe test, you could go do research. There's plenty of research, but it is how you take an idea and you get it to the end. There are four different modes that the Kolbe assessment addresses. I'm going to address three out of the four. The last one is called implementer, but it really is about how you like would build an IKEA piece of furniture. It's more of that kind of implementation. And I'm not really in a physical product space, so I kind of have not learned much about that one. I focus on the first three numbers, which are your fact finder, your follow through, and your quick start. Each of these numbers have a low, medium, and high. And the low, medium, and high is not like low is not bad and high is not good. It's just these three different ways of thinking. And if you're low and high, it's hard to communicate with each other. But if you have somebody that is in the middle, they can connect the lower and higher on each of those different pillars. So the fact finder pillar talks about how much information do you have to have before you make a decision on something. So if you have a low fact finder number, then you just want to know the gist of the idea. Like, is there enough information that we should get started? All right, I'm ready to go. If you're at the high end of the fact finder, you want to do a lot of research. You want to see what else is out there. The first thing you're probably going to do is research something when you get an idea. If you're in the middle, if you have enough information that you can explain it to someone else, you're good to go. So the low end of fact finders try to simplify the information. In the middle, they try to explain what they're going to do. And at the high end of fact finder, they try to strategize and find out, like, what is all the research that is out there? What is all the information that we could find? Okay, what is our plan and what is our unique play going to be on this specific kind of research? The second pillar is called follow through. And the follow through pillar is how much organization or systemization do you need in order to do a project? So on the low end of follow through, like, others are going to have to adapt to whatever your organizational structure is. You never do the same thing twice. As a matter of fact, you try to break the systems that people give you that you have to use in order to input information in order to get your job done. In the middle of the follow through pillar, you will maintain any system that is given to you, but you're not going to create a system. You're also not going to change a system once it's in place. And at the high end of follow through, you want to create a custom system for every single thing that you're going to do. And you're going to love creating all of the organization and reorganizing things that you've already organized before. So follow through is not about getting the job done. Follow through is about what is the process that your brain goes through in order to organize the research information to have an end product. And don't worry, I'm going to go back to these again because I know, well, I'm thinking it's a lot of new information and I'm giving it to you. So there's probably a lot of information in this podcast. The third pillar and why I originally found out about Colby is called the quick start. And the quick start is basically, how fast do you act on an idea once you have one? Yeah, you already guessed. I'm a pretty fast actor, right? Well, I learned about the Colby from Strategic Coach. Dan Sullivan is the CEO and founder of Strategic Coach. He might not actually be the CEO. He might only be the founder of Strategic Coach. He has a 10 out of 10 on the quick start. What that means is when he has an idea, if he likes it, like it's implemented almost instantaneously. And he's created a whole bunch of things in Strategic Coach that have helped him really think about his idea for a hot second before he passes it off to his team to make sure it's something he really wants to do, because he's such a quick start. He has so many ideas. I also think that I'm a fairly high quick start. I'm an 8 out of 10. I think that this quick start energy, this ability to assess an idea almost instantaneously, create an action plan and start working on it within minutes, I think this also looks like ADD. I think this is why people think that I have ADHD. It's because I'm a very high quick start. There may be a lot of overlap. I haven't done the research in that because I'm a high quick start. I'll have somebody else do the research on that for me and let you know what they come up with. But I think this quick start energy and ADHD is somehow probably related, and it looks very similar when you're watching people. Like people who have ADHD, high ADHD, and people who have high quick start often look very similar. And I'm finding a lot of people in Strategic Coach, Dan Sullivan included, are diagnosed with ADHD late in life. I mean, the man is in his late 70s, and I think he was diagnosed with ADHD in a few years ago, like when he was 75 or something like that. Now, just a little side note, since I know a little bit about ADHD, not doctor level or anything, but a little bit about it, I know that the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which runs those 8 executive functions, which is where the ADHD diagnosis comes from, start to slow down as soon as you turn 40. So if he's ADD at 75, aren't we all ADD at 75? Like, I mean, like everything's going to slow down. Kind of like if you live long enough, you're going to end up with all the diagnoses. So was he ADD as a 12-year-old, as a 20-year-old, as a 24-year-old? I don't know. There are some other questions I have around ADD I am talking through with some doctors and some researchers, and I'll have more information for you in 2022. But I do notice that people who are high quick starts also, as you're watching them and how fast their brain processes information, makes synergies, and comes up with something brand new, looks very similar to what I see in people who are diagnosed with ADHD. Okay, in this quick start pillar, the low part of quick start tries to stabilize things. They do not want change. They're like, "Why? This is my husband. Why did you move where the ketchup is? I don't understand why he had to move the ketchup. Like, he thinks when I clean and organize the kitchen, if I move a couple of condiments, he's thrown off for 6 months. It's another great example. He is a low quick start. He did not want to come home to work from the pandemic, not after the initial part of the pandemic, but he had to come back home during that third wave in November. Didn't want to come home, didn't want to have the office. He was in the office. Then about 6 to 8 weeks in, started to say, you know what, I don't mind working from home. 4 weeks later, he has to go back to the office. I don't want to go back to the office. Now I want to work at home. He's a couple weeks into working back at the office. Give it about a month, and then he won't want to come home again. Like, he doesn't want to change. He doesn't like it when you have change. He's going to verbally tell you he did not like that you moved where the ketchup is now. Like, he really doesn't like that. Like, the ketchup moving, I finally just moved it back. Like, it just wasn't even worth it. But then once he's in the new, whatever the new is, for a period of time, he does not want to go back to the way it was before. Like, just make up your mind and stick with it. Like, quit changing your mind. Like, I want this to be exactly the same way for the next 40 years. Thank you very much. That is low quick start energy. Let's just create something. It works. Why it wasn't broken? Why did you fix it? It's not better if you move it. Leave it where it is. In the middle of the quick start energy, you modify. Like if a change is needed, you make a change, but you don't make a change just for change sake. At the high end of quick start, what can we change today? Have we not changed something in an hour? Let's make a change. Why don't we make a change here? I think change would be fun. Changes give a lot of energy, and then I could get more ideas, and then we can have more changes. One of the biggest things that I have learned to do in the last 18 months in my business is to not make changes. Like, changes are exhausting for people who don't like change, and also for people who are trying to do the other two pillars, who are trying to research the change that I just made and then create the system for the change that I just made. And by the time they do that, I've made another change. It's annoying, very annoying for people who are not the change makers. And not necessary. I found that, you know, I would make changes because it fuels me, but not necessary. They're not necessary. So I think long and hard before we implement changes inside of Organize 365. Now, my Colby numbers are 6, 5, 8, which means I'm a 6 on the fact finder, I'm a 5 on the follow through, and I'm an 8 on the quick start. If your numbers are between 4, 5, and 6, that means you're in the middle of each pillar. That is really ideal on a team, because if you are in the middle, then you can talk to the people who have lower energy and higher energy on that pillar than you. So the fact that I'm a 6 fact finder and a 5 follow through is great, because yes, I make all the changes. I have all these ideas and I'm talking about all these things I want to do all of the time, but I'm a fairly high fact finder and follow through. I do enough research to know if we should or shouldn't do this. And if you do a lot of research, I can at least talk to you about it. If my fact finder was really low, I couldn't even have the conversation about the research, because it would be too detailed for me. I only like to know about research if it's novel. If it's like, I don't want to hear the research you already did again, or if there's a minute change in it, like it has to have a lot of change in it for me to be interested. And I don't want to hear about it for 3 hours. I want to hear about it for 20 minutes. So I'm not a high fact finder, but I have enough fact finder that I can listen to the research that has been researched and ask more questions for more research, which I ideally love for other people to do, so I could just have a conversation about it. As far as follow through, I am in the middle, which means that this is great. I don't break the organizational systems that the team puts into place, or that I decide to have an outside company put into place inside of our organization, but I'm always kind of tweaking it and systemizing it and making it better. I'm usually not creating a new system either. I'm not the person that's like, I think we should redo all the Google Sheets and they should have this whole new format and I'm going to create it all and then roll it out to the team. I might like a Google format and have somebody do it for me, but I'm not the one that's going to actually create it. I'm in the middle. All right. So why do we care? Why do we care about this, Colby, other than that's just interesting information? I am a high quick start. You're going to love it. If you take the Colby assessment, it is $50. Kathy Colby will tell you you're fantastic and there's no one quite like you. The reports are so uplifting and empowering. I just love the way that she gives you your report and your videos at the end. But when I took the Colby, I already knew, like, as soon as I knew there was such thing as a quick start, I was pretty sure I was one. Most entrepreneurs are quick starts. Most, you know, visionaries are quick starts because they have so many ideas. They just have so many ideas and they start all of them. I have a lot of friends who are quick starts. And I find that the ones that are successful are able to have a lot of ideas, but only act on 1 to 3 at a time. That's why I love the pink slash pockets. That's why I created the whole Sunday basket, you guys. Like, I have so many ideas. I want to be able to keep them. They're fabulous. They're wonderful. We should do them all when I think of them. And then when I put them in the workbox or I put them in the Sunday basket and I read them a week later, I go, what was I thinking when I thought we could do this? Like, that's not a thing. But in the past, before I had a place to put them where they could just be and rest, I would try to get my school or my kids or my husband or my house or my team to do all of them every time I had one because I didn't want to forget my idea. And if I didn't have people to start acting on my idea, I might forget my idea. And so you see what I'm saying? And my friends who do not have Sunday baskets or work boxes and are quick starts will often start multiple projects at one time, but we're quick starts. So obviously the team is doing the projects that we start. But they forget the projects that they started with their team and they add on another one. And then the team has too many things to do. And then they wonder at the end of the quarter, at the end of the year, why all these things didn't get done. It's because you gave them too many projects. Like, people can only follow through and research so many things at a time. This is why I love and personally do planning day 4 times a year for my business and 3 times a year for my house. I have to take all of my fabulous ideas and decide what are the top 1 to 3 that I want to get done in this next 90 days for business or 120 days at home. I can't do all of them. I can't pick more than 3. It's overwhelming to the team, and we all know I'm not the one that's going to follow through on them. The second reason I really, really love the Colby is once I read my report, which has lots of pictures and videos, I learned why I get so frustrated with myself. I have the best intentions. I am great at starting something. Like, when I have an idea and I start something, I'm really good at starting. And I have a pretty high fact finder and follow through. So when I get stuck after that initial energy of getting started wears out, I will go over to my second highest energy, which is researching. And I will Google and I will research and I will listen to a book and I'll listen to a podcast. And then I'll get more energy and I'll go back and I'll keep, like, let's say I'm writing a book. I'll write a little bit more of the book. And then I will, when I run out of that energy, I will go to my follow-through energy, which is to create a better system. So I'll read through and I'll do a little bit of editing. I might reformat. I might do some kind of organizing of the book. And then I'll usually go back to the quick start energy to finish the book until I get 80% of the way done. And then it's really hard for me to get the last 20% done. The second thing that I do when I do projects like this, and I used to get so frustrated with myself because I couldn't figure out why I would not get started sooner. So the 100-day home organization program, the first time, the videos have been redone now, but the first time that I launched that in April of, I don't know, a lot of years ago, 2015, 2016, a long time ago, I had launched the 100-day program as like a in-person Zoom recorded type mastermind in December. And it kind of worked, but it didn't work the way I wanted it to work. And I moved from that format to the 100-day program in April before we relaunched it again, because I knew when it should be launched. But I didn't have any videos. And I realized I should have 100 different spaces and 100 different videos. And so I created all 100 videos in 3 days on a weekend. And I created the entire membership portal that we used to have. Now we have a custom coded one, but the one we used to have on WordPress using Memberium by myself in 10 days, including the videos. So from, I think it was, I don't know, it was a 10-day time frame, like a Monday to the following Wednesday, or it was like a Wednesday to the following Friday. I don't know. It was a 10-day time frame from when I finally realized how I was going to deliver the new 100-day program. I recorded all the videos, all the blog posts, and all of the lessons inside of a membership site and connected it to my website and connected it to my email and my sales page in 10 days and then sold it. And like, I think 100 of you signed up. Why did I wait and do all of that work in that 10 days? Like, I knew what I was doing. Why did I wait so long? Likewise, when I wrote the book, my first book, The Mindset of Organization, I wrote that entire book in 28 days, from the idea of the book all the way through the entire book, through off to an editor, and I had it published 6 weeks after that, like self-published. I wrote it so fast. And I was like, well, if I can accomplish these things so quickly, why do I wait so long to get started? And then I got my Colby results. And I was like, oh, I understand now. The numbers of your pillars is the order in which you have energy. So I kind of talked through this in the last segment about how I will start with the quick start energy And then I go to the researching energy, and then I go to the organizing energy, and then I pop back to the quick start energy. So again, my numbers are 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 8 out of 10. And those pillars, those bars, are kind of like battery packs. And the higher the number, the more energy you have behind that number. So I have an 8 out of 10 in quick start. So it's like I'm a car driving down the road. I'm going to use that quick start energy first. When I run out, I'm going to go over to Fact Finder. I'm going to use that energy. When I run out, I'm going to go over to Follow Through. I'm going to use that energy. At that point, you probably need to sleep to get your batteries recharged, and then you're going to go back to the quick start, which has the most energy. Here's the thing. Quick start energy is not productive energy. Quick start energy is thinking, talking, synergizing. 50% of my energy is quick start energy, which means I want to talk about it. And I now notice I do this with everything. Every idea I have, I think about it. I talk to myself about it. Then I will pick someone on the team, someone in one of my informal masterminds, a family member, you know, a good friend, whoever. I will pick somebody. I'll be like, who would like to listen to me talk about this thing? And then I will talk about whatever my idea is. And as I'm sharing it, I'm getting more clear on if this is something I want to actually do or not. But I'm also watching for the reaction from whoever I'm sharing it with to see if they think it's a good idea or not. If they think it's a good idea, then I talk about it with someone else, and then someone else, and then someone else. And so this happens a lot on the team. I will have an idea. I'll think about it. I'll think about when would be the best time to implement it. Is this just an idea for today, or is this a real idea? And I cannot wait until the next day to talk about my idea. I don't have that kind of self-control. So I will go to one person on the team. Here's my idea. What do you think? Now, I know change is overwhelming to a lot of people. So I don't go to anyone on the team who would be worried about me making another change. I go to the people that are in the middle on the quick start that they'll talk about the change, and they know that until I actually put it in an actionable, we're not doing it. And they're happy to have me talk about whatever my ideas are. When we hire people, we have them take the Colby during the interview process so I can explain to them how I think and how they think so that they know before they even start here day one, Lisa is allowed to talk about anything. Any idea. She could talk about moving to a different state. She could talk about like whatever she wants. She could talk about any idea. We do not take any action on what Lisa is talking about unless it comes out in an email. It is put on our internal like project board, or it is talked about in a meeting and we have a goal or a rock associated with it. Until there is like a deadline, you don't have to do anything about things that Lisa is talking about, because likely 3 days from now, she won't even be talking about that thing. So that is the quick start energy, the talking about it. And I realized in writing the book or creating the 100-day program, I wasn't really talking to people about it because I didn't have a team back then. And most of my friends thought I was crazy doing what I was doing, so they weren't really talking to me about what I was doing. So I would just be thinking. Like I would spend 50% of my time thinking about, okay, the first book I'm going to do, what is it going to have in it? All right, I want to talk about the four phases of life. I want to talk about generations. I want to talk about like, and I would keep thinking like, all right, well, how would you then in my head, how would you organize that? Has somebody else done that? So I moved to my second part of energy. Once I decide I'm going to write a book, we're going to do the 100-day program, whatever. I've talked to everybody on the team. We're going to do whatever the next thing is. I've made a decision. I move out of quick start energy and I go into my second energy, which is 6 out of 10, which is Fact Finder. Now I'm going to do some research. Okay, that's great. I want to move to a different state. What are the tax implications of that? What are the, you know, like all, then I start thinking about, okay, if this was going to be a real thing, it's no longer a pretend thing in my head. What do I really need to know about that? So for the book, when I decided that I wanted to write a book, I signed up for a program that taught you how to write a book and gave you all these 12 different lessons about how to self-publish an Amazon best-selling book. And I went through the course. So that was my Fact Finder. I still wasn't really writing the book. I was like, all right, so how do you self-publish? What are the steps? What do I need to know? What do I have to have set up? What is the information I need in order to write a book? I wasn't researching the content of my book because the content was in my head. I was researching, like, how do you actually do it? I needed a little bit more information. Was this something I could even do? Again, with the 100-day program, I started researching, okay, well, my website doesn't have a membership site. How do I set up a membership site? Here are all the ones that are out there. I picked Memberium. Okay, so it's going to be Memberium. Okay, how do they organize lessons? How am I going to set this up? How am I going to sell this? How am I going to let people know? How often is it going to be open? Those were all the researching things I did. Then when I was done with that, the next thing I do is I go to my follow-through energy. And when you get to the follow-through energy, this is when people see action of what has been going on in my head this entire time. Now, if you're keeping track, like 70% of my time has already been spent, but no one can see visually that I've done anything. I've just talked to people, I've talked to myself, I've thought it through. In my head, I'm writing the book, but I have nothing on paper. I've bought a course, I've gone through the course, or I've done more research, or I'm starting to buy plugins that I'm going to put on the website. And then I get to the follow-through energy, which mine is 5 out of 10. So now I'm taking that energy and I'm writing the book. I'm recording the videos and I'm putting them on the website. I'm, you know, doing whatever it is that the idea was. And this follow-through energy for me happened so super fast. And it appears like I got up in the morning and I decided I was going to record 4 podcasts. And at the end of the day, I have 4 podcasts recorded. But that's not in actuality what really happened in my brain. In my brain, this podcast you're listening to today, I got the idea of 2 or 3 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm recording it today because the idea, the quick start energy of this is a really powerful concept. I would love for you to understand how you think, how your family members think, how the people around you at work think, so that you can, I'll get to how this applies in a minute. It's powerful. At the end of this podcast, you'll never think about your thinking the same way again or the people around you, and you'll be able to give people so much more grace. That's the quick start. 2-3 years ago, I decided I wanted to do this podcast. I have researched for the last 2 years before recording it today, which is the follow-through, getting it organized, getting it out, getting it to Amanda to get it up for you guys. I've researched Colby. I've read more books. I've done it with my entire team. We use it in our hiring process now. Like, I know a lot about Colby. I've explained my Colby to a lot of people. I've looked at people's Colbys, and I've explained it to them. And the thing that was holding me back from explaining this to you today is I'm not a certified Colby instructor. Like, I'm not a Colby expert, but I know enough to know how to use the Colby assessment inside of my company to bring out the best in our team, give my team grace, and for them to understand how I think as well. Now, when we use this assessment in the company, it's funny. I'm only looking for one thing. The Colby can be used to high levels of expertise of creating the team that you need or hiring the exact right person for a position. I don't use it that way. Like, you could say, I need an administrator. They'll tell you what that Colby score could be. You need a salesperson. They'll tell you what that Colby score could be. I'm using the Colby score to make sure that nobody is more of a quick start than me. Quick starts are exhausting. People like me with a lot of ideas, we are exhausting. And it is so easy. It could be so easy. It's probably the number one thing I spend my energy doing is not following my quick start energy. It is my best asset. It is also my highest weakness. I'm also a salesperson. I could talk myself into anything, any idea I get. Like, by the end of the day, it could be like the new thing. Like, we have to have this. Like, why has the world not discovered this before? It is my Achilles heel. And so when I'm hiring, I do not want anybody that is going to have a higher quick start than me because I have been around other quick starts. And what happens is my ideas that I have 100 of a day become 1,000 a day because that energy feeds on each other and you just get idea upon idea upon idea upon idea. And it would burn out my company within a month. I just know it would. So that's what I'm looking for. Do you have a high quick start? The entire team does not. There's nobody on the team that has a high quick start. There are a few that are in the middle of the pillar. Almost everyone is between a 1 and a 3 on the quick start. And that's what you want in a team. You want a team that is going to stabilize the changes that you're making. You want them to be open to the changes, but it also makes me so that I don't burn out my team be very thoughtful about the changes I want to make. Is it really worth making the changes? And at this point in the company, no, it's not worth making very many changes or a lot of changes at any one time. We really think through any changes that we have going forward so that our message and our mission and our customer journey stay as solid as possible and as easily replicated as possible. The team, they are super high in Fact Finder and follow through. I mean, they're like eights and nines on Fact Finder and follow through. They love to take an idea that I have, do all the research, poke all the holes in it, find where it's going to break, figure out how to make it a reality, organize the system, organize the entire company so that we can have an idea, go to research, go to fulfilled idea quicker because the systems are getting better and better inside of the company. So I walked you through how I do a project. I talk about it for 50% of the time. I research it for about 25% of the time. And then the last 20%, I either complete it or now I usually have the team create it. I don't do a lot of the follow through anymore because I'm off to the next idea. And the team is so seasoned that they can go through and they could take the follow through for me. When you get your numbers, your highest number is the number that you start at. You don't start with the Fact Finder because it's the first pillar. You start with whatever your highest number is. So when I am hiring people and we're in our final interview and they've taken their Colby and I'm looking at their Colby and I'm sharing with them how I do things, I then turn around and I say, this is how you would do it. I'm going to, let's say we're going to move to another state. We're not doing that. That's why I keep using that example. Let's say I decide we're going to move to another state. And I tell you, I think we're going to move our headquarters to another state. If you are a high Fact Finder, the first thing you are going to do is research. A, do you even want to live there and move with us? B, if we move there, what are the tax implications? Where will we get land? What is the best city? You know, all that. You're going to do a lot of research and then you're going to organize it and you're probably going to present to me some kind of a report. And then once you present the report and your follow through and I say, yes, let's do that, then you're going to go ahead and you're going to implement it. And that's where your quick start, like the talking to me about the report that you created is your quick start. So you're going to research it. If you're high Fact Finder, if your next highest is follow through, you're going to create some kind of a presentation or report, an email, something to set up a meeting with me. And then you're going to do your lowest energy, which is the quick start talking energy. Present your findings to me to see if we're moving forward. If we are, you'll go right back to research. Great. Then I need a binder and I need slash pockets and I need to label them and I'm going to fill them. And you know, you'll do that Fact Finder follow through back and forth. If you're higher follow through than you are Fact Finder, same exact thing. You're in a meeting with me. I say, we're going to move to another state. You are first going to create the binder. You're going to create a moving binder, moving to another state binder. You're going to get out the slash pockets. You're going to say, okay, we're going to need to move the warehouse. We're going to need to move the office. I'm going to personally need to move. We need to move the bank accounts. You're going to make a list of all the things that are going to have to be done, probably in a binder or in a spreadsheet or in some kind of an organizational thing. Once you feel like the spreadsheet is all the way you want it or the binder is the way you think you want it, then you're going to go do research. Okay, great. We're going to need a place to live. All right, let me look at the state now. What are the best cities? Okay, in those cities, what is the best location in that city? What about, you know, airports, all these things? And you'll do your research. Your research will fill your binder or your spreadsheet. Then you will schedule a meeting with me. You will present the information, and then you will go back and you will either organize the information again and get more research, or you see what I'm saying? So this is why this is so powerful. When you give a project to yourself or someone else, everyone is going to take 10 hours to do that project, okay? So it's going to take 10 hours to do whatever the project is that has been assigned or needs to be done. I am literally going to get in the car and drive and get onion rings and listen to a podcast. And you're like, what? I just told you, you have 10 hours to do this project. Yep, I'm going to go drive in the car. I'm going to drive in the car. I'm going to listen to music. I'm going to think. I'm going to listen to the podcast. I'm going to spend 5 hours mulling over the assignment that I was given. Then I'm going to be like, I got to get going on this. I will do some research. After I get enough research to back up whatever my idea that I came up with in the car was and doing laundry and all of that, now I only have 2.5 hours left before this project is due and I'll just knock it out. And then I will get frustrated with myself because I've spent so much time in the car doing laundry and, you know, creating the binder or whatever. I can't do it the other way. I can't just sit down and start producing in hour one. It's not possible. I have to do the drive. I have to do the thinking. And because I now know that about myself, I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel bad that I'm going to go talk to 8 people about the project that's due in 10 hours because that is how I think. I think by talking to other people or talking to myself. And then I think by looking at what other people have done and doing some research. And the last 2 hours is when I'm going to actually produce the thing. And I used to think, why don't I just get started sooner? I can't. My brain doesn't work that way. Conversely, because I can start talking about an idea almost before you're done explaining to me what the idea is, I would get frustrated when other people didn't have like a rapid fire answer for me. Like I used to do these meetings 3 years ago where I'd bring the entire team in. I already told you they're not quick starts. I'd be like, we live in Ohio. We're going to live in Omaha, you know, Nebraska. And then everyone would just stare at me. I was like, aren't you ready to go? Aren't you excited? What questions do you have? What do you want to know? And they would just look at me and they'd be like, okay, we're moving to Omaha, I guess. And I couldn't understand why people wouldn't have that discussion with me right away. They need processing time. They need to research it, organize it, and then they'll have a discussion with me afterwards. So whatever the task is, same 10 hours, if you're a high researcher, first thing you do when you get an assignment, as soon as you can get to the internet or the library, you're going to start doing some research. You're going to find out some more information. You want to gather more knowledge before you can take action. Then you're probably going to organize it and do it, and then it's actually going to be done, probably 2 hours early. And because you're done ahead of schedule, you're going to be like, well, maybe I'm missing something. You'll talk to people about it. All right, I did the report, and this is what I did, but do you think I did it right? And what about this? Maybe we should have added that. No? You think it's good? It's good? Okay. Let me run it by one more person. Oh, yeah, I did the report. This is what I did. Do you think I did? Yeah? Okay. All right, I'll turn it in, I guess. Because you're always done early because you did all the things. If your highest is follow through and you get an assignment and you have 10 hours, like I said, first thing you're going to do is you're going to think, okay, this is going to take 10 hours. We're going to have 10 lessons. All right, I think I'm going to make 10 post-it notes and I'm going to put my ideas on the post-it notes. No, I'd rather do it in a spreadsheet. Nope, I'd rather do it in a binder. Okay, it's going to be a binder. And you figure out how you're going to organize the information first. Once you know how you're going to organize it, then you're like, okay, I need information. All right, I'm going to go do the research. I'm going to fill this up. Again, you're going to be done 2 hours early, and then you're going to be like, okay, maybe I should redo the slash pockets so they all match in the binder before I give it to Lisa. Yeah, okay, I'm going to redo all the slash pockets. All right, now it looks good. It looks good. And then you're going to talk to somebody. Hey, I got my binder done. You want to look at my binder? Did I do it right? Is this what you've done? Okay, yeah, you think that's good? All right, I guess I'm going to turn it in. So, do you see the same 10 hours, same exact project? I'm going to drive and talk and listen. Somebody's going to research, and somebody else is going to get all of the office supplies out of the office supply cabinet. Once you know this, and you know the Colby of the people that you're working with, can you see how powerful this is? You may be thinking about your kids, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is why they always put these projects off to the last minute. They're like Lisa. They're a quick start. That's why they're talking to me for an hour about a project they haven't even started yet that is due tomorrow, because that's how they think. They have to talk to you about the project before they can do the project. It'll get done. Don't worry. Quick starts get their work done. We just get it done very, very right before the buzzer. That's when we get it done. Other people get their work done early and it's done. And then they want to talk to you about it. And you say, well, why are you talking to me about it? It's done. Just turn it in. Because it's the final piece of how your brain works. Once you've done the research, once you've done the organizing, you still have some quick start energy. You still want to talk to somebody about it. You still want to get affirmation. You want to make sure. You want to double check before you turn it in. And understanding this and being able to talk to people about this before they even join the Organized 365 team, number one, allows me to be me. I'm allowed to have all the ideas. I'm allowed to do all the talking. I'm allowed to do all the driving, because truly it is the ideas that I come up with that create Organized 365. It's valuable. It's valuable to have a visionary who spends a lot of time just thinking. I think about thinking all the time and I can't turn it off. I'm always getting ideas. But then for me to know there is only so much Fact Finder, and Follow Through Energy inside of my company. There are only so many researching and doing hours. We can't act on all of my ideas. We have to act on the best 1 to 3 per quarter, and that's it. And then they have to wait until the next quarter. And so when I now what I do when I have a new idea is I record a video and I send it out to the team 24 hours in advance. And then we all meet about it later and they've done a little bit of research, a little bit of organizing, and we can have a discussion about it. And then they go off and they do the researching and they do the follow through and everything you see in Organize 365 started in my head and was created by this team. It is a beautiful synergy. It is such a collaboration. It is such a well-oiled team where everyone is acting in their unique gifting, but also in alignment with their energy and how their brain thinks. And so knowing that things are going to get done in this amount of time, when I give an assignment, if you are a teacher, if you are a parent, when you tell your students, when you tell your kids to do something, once you figure out if they are a researcher or an organizer or a talker, they're going to do whichever one that is when you give them the thing. So if you say, hey, I want you to go do this, and they start talking to you about it, and you're like, I said, do it. I'm talking about it, maybe actually doing it. It may be the first part. And then you could go, okay, they're going to get it done. I've said the deadline is this. We're going to start with the talking energy, and then we're going to do the organizing energy, and then the research, and then it's going to be done. And as an employer, when you do this with your team and you walk through the office and you notice people are spending 2 to 3 hours on the internet researching something, you can know that they're getting what they need to do in order to do the project that you've assigned them. They're not wasting your time. They're not surfing the internet when they should be doing something. Likewise, when there are post-it notes all over a wall, there's one of our people that just makes post-it notes about everything. Post-it notes all over the wall. They're not wasting time reorganizing something that doesn't need to be organized. They have to see what's in their brain on these post-it notes and be able to move them around organizationally. That's part of their follow-through, and add the research to that in order to be able to do it. And if your team, as most teams are, like most people who work 9-to-5 jobs, enjoy the stability of a 9-to-5 job. That's why they're in a 9-to-5 job. They like knowing that the lights are going to come on. We're going to have, you know, bagels on Tuesday and we're going to order out on Friday. They like the hum of a week. They're not high quick starts. They like having a routine. They like coming in at 7:30. They like leaving at 4. They schedule all their doctor's appointments on Tuesday. This is what they like. They want to be spending time researching or organizing and getting projects done, not coming up with what the next project is that's going to be done. They just trust that you'll have one there when they show up at 7:30 the next day. There's going to be a project to do. It is so freeing. It's freeing both for yourself and it's freeing for your team. And as long as you're meeting your goals and you're putting enough new ideas in the company or in the or in your curriculum or in your house in order to be making forward progress, not too many, not too few, it works really well. All right, so this is the first. I knew this one would be kind of long. I had to come in really early in the office to record this one. I'm sure you're going to have questions. I'm going to refer you to the Kolbe Institute. It's K-O-L-B-E. It is $50 to have your assessment done. We put everyone who applies to the Organize 365 company, before they interview with me, they will take a Kolbe. So even if you don't end up getting hired here, we pay to have your Kolbe done, just so we know that we can explain this to you and that we know that it will end up that you don't have more quick start energy than me. I am really looking forward to doing the rest of this Discovering You series. The next one will be about how to follow your energy and your intuition. This is another thing that I do. You've been asking me to explain this to you, and I'm going to try next Friday. Have a great week.